Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Thursday morning. This music fires me up, also makes me sad. It should always be the SEC. But I digress. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Mike, good morning. How are we doing?
Great. Yeah, you guys are making me feel like it's like an October Saturday right there with that music.
Rutgers, Iowa, baby. Let's go!
I just hear
Can't get better than that.
Just, I mean, we saw Gary Danielson walking around right in front of us the other day in front of Rex Road, and now this music just makes me think of Gary and then old Uncle Vern, too. It's good stuff.
Yep.
Very good stuff. Mike, we've been talking a lot about Tennessee heading into this week, the expectations with this group. Obviously, we know how good this offense was last year with Joe Milton stepping in. How good do you think this offense can still be, given the departures on the offensive line and obviously the departure at the quarterback position, too, with Hendon Hooker?
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of have a sense of what Joe Milton can be, but the problem is you have a sense of how good he can be, but also how bad he can be. So that's where all this is going to be predicated, right? That's how Josh Heupel's offense works. If you have a really good quarterback, you're going to be pretty darn good on offense, just the way that things are built. I think they feel good enough about probably how the wide receiver position is. It's basically that group that you saw last year in the Orange Bowl along with Joe Milton to beat Clemson. I mean, Brew McCoy is back. Squirrel White looks like a guy who's going to be really, really good. So I think the offense has all the potential to be there. They just need the quarterback to play up to the potential because everyone knows Joe Milton's arm and what he's capable of is through the roof. But if he puts that together, yeah, Tennessee can be pretty scary on offense again.
So are you going to be here today, Mike, or do you have another story coming for a recruit who picked another school but got some like, money and cigars
other things
and stuff from Tennessee?
I will not be there today in Nashville.
Sorry, buddy. Media Day. I know you're heartbroken.
Devastated. Fun fact, I've never been to SEC football media days, and it's like a point of pride.
That is amazing. But how about, is there more coming? You guys have been churning it out, you and Adam Sparks. I mean, the laying bare all of the misdeeds of the Jeremy Pruitt era. I mean, it's great work by you guys, but is there more coming? What is your prevailing takeaway from the entire thing now that it's over?
I'm sure there's more coming. I don't know. But it's kind of the widespread nature of all of it. I think when you first saw the NCAA findings on Friday, there was a sentence in it that just said, more than 200 violations by at least a dozen staff members over a two-year period. And there was also a sentence, I think, just in the NCAA documents themselves that said they all went, none were self-reported. I mean, that is a widespread, a massive scope. And it's kind of wild to see the carelessness. The story we reported yesterday on one recruit's visit, ate at like seven different restaurants in a three-day period in October 2020. I mean, this is COVID. This player is 6'5" and 285 pounds. That person stands out. It was kind of reckless in so many ways of how Tennessee was doing this, how many people were involved. It's kind of shocking it didn't come out sooner, honestly, with just how many people were involved and how many people knew.
Mike, how realistic is it in your mind that Tennessee can hang in there and compete for the division this year with Georgia?
Yeah, I mean, Georgia's obviously layered recruiting classes a lot longer. When you have five-star backups, that's a pretty good situation. It's very Alabama in that nature. But the nice thing with Josh Heupel, and this has kind of been a line I've said since he got hired, is that offense always remains an equalizer. Even if there's still a talent gap there, that offense can close that gap. Pretty fast, but I mean, Georgia has everything going for it. The question obviously is, yeah, what's the quarterback going to look like? Who's it going to be? How consistent will they be? Because like it or not, Stetson Bennett was really good. I think sometimes it got chalked up to, well, he's surrounded by so much talent and that certainly helped. And that offensive line kept him very clean, but Stetson Bennett also was really good and always in very much control of the game. So yeah, Georgia's got that to figure out, but yeah, talent for days. So I think Tennessee can be right there with them. I think they probably are the second favorite going to this season in terms of the East. South Carolina probably right there behind them. Florida, if they figure some things out too. So, yeah, Tennessee should be right there.
Okay. The 12-team playoff starts next year.
So, do not make me predict the 12 teams, Joe.
Oh, that's actually a good idea, too. I wasn't going to do that, now that you bring it up. No, the first 10 years of the 12-team playoff, how many times, and this is, of course, hypothetical, and the hypothetical is a hypothetical, including meaning that he will, thank you, he will be, you know, Robbie's had to shake his head on that one, that he will be with the Vols that entire time. Of those 10 years, how many times will Tennessee make the 12-team playoff?
Well, first off, let me say Grant Ramey would be immensely proud of that pun you just pulled off. I think you need to text him and let him know about it.
Brutal.
Man. Two would probably be that number I'd go with. It's going to be more open, but you've still got to win enough games. And it's hard to predict as it stands because we don't know how the SEC is going to go with scheduling. We don't know who Tennessee is going to face year in and year out. Because right now, Tennessee's obstacle to those types of things is they have to be able to beat two out of three of Bama, Florida, Georgia every year while not blowing any other games, which is what we saw last year, right? Tennessee blew South Carolina. Otherwise, they're probably in the playoff.
They're certainly in a 12-team playoff.
Yeah, they're probably in a 12-team playoff even with that loss. But yeah, the way that it falls will be so much predicated on what the SEC does in scheduling, who Tennessee's guaranteed games are, when the rotating ones fall the way they do, if that's kind of the structure they go with. So I'd go with two, just because Tennessee is going to be there. Because Josh Heupel's recruiting, man, like that was maybe one of the question marks. It was defense and recruiting, I think, were the two that people were not sure on. He is slaying on the recruiting trail right now. I mean, five-star wide receiver Mike Matthews picked Tennessee last night. So you start doing that and bring players like that into this offense, I'd probably be predicting more than two, but yeah, safely with that scheduling element, I'm going to stick on two.
Mike Wilson with us here on Robbie and Rex. And Mike, you bring up the defensive side of the ball for Tennessee. What do you think that looks like for them this year? Obviously, and we've talked about this before, with as quickly as Tennessee moves up and down the field offensively, it can put a lot of strain on their defense with how long that they're out there. But how improved do you think they could be? Do you think they'll be improved on that side of the ball this year?
Yeah, I think that depends on how much stock you put in some individual performances against Clemson. Because Aaron Beasley was phenomenal at inside linebacker. Danico Slaughter looked like an absolute dude on the edge at cornerback. And he had looked like that against Kentucky and showed some promise there. If he can be that kind of dude in the secondary, that's really exciting for Tennessee. Tamari McDonald, star, I thought, is a guy who can really take another leap. But to me, it's going to come down that front group. Is Omari Thomas going to be a star? He was a really highly rated recruit two classes ago and has had a lot of flashes and looked really good. But I think for all belief, it's going to be a better unit. But last year, I mean, this third down red zone, I mean, the struggles were there. And that certainly was limiting. Again, you point to the South Carolina game and giving up 60-some points to Spencer Rattler and his group. I mean, that was a defensive problem, obviously. So Tennessee shores that up. It's a lot different because if you've got a defense that can hold teams under 30 with this offense, you're winning most of your games.
You know what I got to do, right?
I do.
You know I've got to ask Mike Wilson a basketball question.
Yay.
Yes. Yeah, get excited. Chris Ledlam leaves. I kind of read that, and I know you guys had a little media session with the team the other day, but I mean, I kind of read that as maybe he didn't think that both Josiah and Santi would be back. What's your read on it?
So I think at the time of his commitment, it was kind of known enough that Santi was going to come back, that probably wasn't a factor. But, yeah, I mean, the order of offseason movement there was Ledlam, or it was Ganey. I think it went Ganey, Santi, Ledlam, Dalton Connect, and then way later, decided to come back. I read that decision as a compliment to Josiah Jordan-James and Tobey Awaka, because I think Tobey's come back like an absolute monster from Team USA, and I think it's also an indication of how Josiah Jordan-James is playing, that a guy who averaged 18-8 and 8-8 last year at Harvard is sitting on the sidelines after having knee surgery and thinking, uh-oh, because he's seeing how those guys are playing. So that's kind of how I read the situation, was just it's probably an indication of the depth that Tennessee has and the way those guys are playing, because Chris Ludlam's good. I mean, if he's a guy who stuck here and Josiah didn't come back, he's probably the starting four. So that's a talented guy, and he looked at the situation and said, uh-oh, and left. So that's an interesting indication of where Tennessee's at.
Well, Mike, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Nick brought up the 1998 NHL draft yesterday in July, and Rex Road brings up college basketball today.
Hey. Well,
that's good stuff.
Hey, man. It's always basketball season.
That is true. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.